Have your Bibles turned to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 12. 2 Samuel 12. God laid this message upon my heart about 3 weeks ago, and you know it's right when you can't get away from it. Amen. I like all the Word of God. It's good for reproof, rebuke, correction, whatever it may be. And I look first and foremost in my own life, how I can better my life in living for the Lord. And that's what the Word of God's here. Are you glad you got the Word of God today?
Amen.
Amen. If we didn't have this Word of God, we'd be in terrible shape. Amen. I mean, the world's in a terrible, horrible shape. And the reason, one of the reasons why the world is in such shape as it is because it don't know God. It don't know the Word of God. It does not have correction in its life. And people's lives, they don't know how to correct their lives. The same as me and you don't even know how to correct our lives without the Word of God. Amen. It's a precious thing to us to have the Word of God before us today. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 12, we're starting the very first verse, and it says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we are grateful and honored, Lord, just to be here today. Dear Lord, in your presence, in your house of God, Lord, we're thankful. Great honor, dear Lord, to stand behind your pulpit, Lord, to teach the reading of the Word of thy God, of your Word, Lord. Lord, we're thankful, dear Lord, for each and every one that's come out today, Lord. We can't do nothing here today without you, Lord. And I need you, dear Lord, to come down, Lord. I need you anointing, God. I need you, dear Lord, your Spirit, dear Lord, to dwell amongst me and our folks, dear Lord, the people of your people, your children, God. Lord, but we pray most of all, Lord, if there's one in the midst that just don't know you, we pray today be the day of salvation. God, just help us, dear Lord, to glorify and holy and just put your name up on high, dear Lord. Hold you up, Lord. May you be exalted in all things said and done, for we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Said, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David." David's a king, and Nathan's a man of God. And he said, he came unto him and said unto him, "There were two men in a city, the one was rich and the one was poor." Nathan's fixing to give David a type of a parable. And parables weren't very common back in the Old Testament, but they are. There's a few in there. Amen. And I like parables. You know, at one point in time in my life, talking about how the Word of God can help you, when I first got saved, I didn't even understand parables. I didn't understand parables. I was saved by the grace of God and still didn't understand parables, but I was a babe in Christ. You know, there comes a point in time in people's lives where you must start understanding the Word of God, because you can't have help in it without understanding. And the way you have understanding, the Word of God tells us to pray unto God for wisdom and understanding. You know, it can't come so much from man, it comes from God. See, God starts revealing His Word unto you. Parables are for us, amen. They're for us, the spiritual folks, amen. The reason Jesus put them in parables, He said, for the world don't know everything, but He put it out there in a type of illustration for the world to help them understand. Because sometimes in parables, He uses worldly illustrations. But everything ain't for the world to know, amen. Sometimes it's just for the child of God. And I think today this parable is just for the child of God, because Nathan's a man of God and he's coming unto David. David is a king saved by the grace of God, anointed by God, put in a place by God. Amen. If you're saved today, you got the Holy Spirit living within you. You got the Spirit of God. You've been saved by the grace of God. You've been anointed by God, and you got some type of knowledge by God. Amen. And he starts off and says right here, there was one rich man and one poor. It said the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. It said the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up and grew up together with him, with his children, and did eat with his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his own bosom, was unto him as a daughter. He said, now the poor man's got a little bit of ewe lamb. That's all he's got. Said the rich man, he's got plenty. And this poor man, he raised this ewe lamb up, and he said it ate at his table, it drank from his cup, it laid in his bosom, and he even thought so much of it to be a child of his. See, the poor man thought a whole lot about this ewe lamb. And it goes on to tell you right here in verse number 4, and says, "There came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man which came unto him, but he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come unto him." It was tradition for man, if a man come unto you back in this day and time, to maybe you prepare a meal for him, to show him honor and hospitality within your house. Well, the rich man had many herds. They said he had a great flock and many herds. But right here in the parable, he said, but he didn't use one from his flock or one from his herd. He went and took the poor man. He went and took the poor man's ewe lamb, the little lamb that this man, this poor man, had raised up and thought so much of. They ate from his table, drank from his cup, laid in his bosom, and he thought so much of him as even as a child. He went and took that man's ewe lamb and dressed it for the man that come unto him. And verse 5 said, and David's anger was greatly kindled against that man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, that man has done this thing shall surely die. He said, that man has done a great sin. He has went unto a poor man and took everything he had. That's all the poor man had. Amen. He said, this man has came into town and unto a rich man that had plenty. But the rich man came and took what the poor man had. That's all he had, what the poor man had. Came and took a lamb. It took everything he had. The Bible just illustrated that's all he had. And can you imagine something you cherish and care for so much? I mean, you hold dear, near and dear to your heart as so much as even as a child. I couldn't imagine somebody coming taking my child today. Amen. And if I had somebody come taking my child today, I would be just like David, wouldn't you? Surely that man should die. That's where the first intention of my nature would go. Hey, you don't touch me. Don't touch my family. Don't take nothing from me. You know, the poor man, that's all he had. But the rich man had plenty. What's going on? Why would a rich man come and take from a poor man? Why would he do such a thing? And he had everything. Said he had great herds and great flocks. David's anger was wrath and said, and kindled against that man and said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, that man shall surely, that done these things shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. He said, not only shall he die, but he should return it fourfold. He said he ought to give it back to him that much more, four times more than what the old poor boy had. I want you to take heed. You know what David probably saying right here? I want to know who is this egg-sucking old, sorry, low-down piece of you-know-what. Who is he? How can a man stoop so low to take some from somebody else that's so precious in their life? How can the world, how can somebody outside the house of God go to somebody else and just expect to take everything they got when they got plenty of themselves? How can the church go out in the world and start taking from the world when we got everything God's given us? What's going on here? A rich man is coming to a poor man and took everything he had. The most precious thing he had in his whole life. Took it away from him. David said, who is it? I'd like to know who this is. I wonder who is so low in their life that can do such a sin. That can take something from somebody that don't even belong to them. Something that meant so much to somebody else. And didn't belong to them, but they can just come in out and snatch it up and take it away from them. Who is this man? He said, who can get to this point? Who can get to this point in their life to where they're so low, to where they get down to the where the sinners are and start having sin in their own life and taking things away from them? Who is this? Take me to this man. Show me who he is and we'll deal with this. This is the King David. Set in place over a nation. Got a concern now. All of a sudden, he's got a concern about who is this man? Somebody's done something wrong, and I need to know who it is. Verse number 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Did you hear that? Nathan said to David, thou art the man. If I could title this message today, it'd be, thou art the man. Guess who the rich man was come took from the poor man? It was David. David took from a poor man. David was rich. He had exceeding great riches. He had herds and he had flocks. He had the blessings of God. He was a man anointed of God. Had everything God had to offer him. And what did he decide to do? Go take something that didn't even belong to him. David's a child of God today. David's a child of God. Did you hear me? Amen. Got sin in his life. David's a child of God. David is a leader. David is a king. anointed by God, and he's got sin in his life. You don't think it can happen to you? It can happen to me. It can happen to you. If it can, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. How close you reckon David was to God? You know, when God came to David, God told Samuel, we in the book of Samuel, God told Samuel, said, go anoint somebody from the house of Jesse, one of his boys. He went through all of them. He said, nah, it ain't none one of these, Jesse. You got any more? He said, I got a runt boy out there, herds of sheep. Bring him to me. Let me see if this is the one. David come in the presence of Samuel, and he knew this is the one. This is the one that God has chosen. This is the one that God has chosen to be the shepherd over the flock. This is God's chosen man. He anointed him. David had slayed bears, lions to keep him off the flock. He'd done all that. And then he got to a point where one time David killed a giant called Goliath. You know how David killed that giant? He says, I come to you in the name of the Lord. The only way you can kill a giant in your life is to come to him in the name of the Lord. This man's done great works for God. He's been in the presence of God. He's been so close to God, it's unreal. Because God speaks to him and God walks with him and talks with him. And he done the works of God. He slayed giants. Amen. He slayed wicked people. When God told him to go out and wipe out a nation, he'd go out and wipe out a nation. Thousands, ten thousands, and ten thousands of men. This is a man that walked close to God. This is a man that loved God. And all of a sudden, he's got sin in his life. He said unto Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over Israel and delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I have gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and I have gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had not, and if that had been too little, I would have moreover have given unto thee such and such things. He said, if that wasn't enough, God said, if that wasn't enough, he said, all you had to do, son, was come on back and ask me, and I'd have gave you a little bit more. I'm talking about in God's will and God's way. Because he got out of God's will, amen, and got in God's way. And when we get out of God's will and get in the way of God, and God trying to tell us things and trying to bless us in our lives, guess where we're going to be? We're going to be full of sin, just like David. We're going to have sin in our life, and we won't even realize. Sometimes it takes a man of God, another man of God. This is two men of God in the Bible, right? God will take another man of God to bring to your attention that something's wrong in your life. Amen. Something's going on. Because sometimes we get so high and mighty in ourselves. Pride. David, I mean, listen to me now. He was a king, and back in this day, they had many wives. Do you hear me? They had many wives. They could have a multitude of wives, but they couldn't have another man's wife. He could have any woman he wanted in the land. And the Bible teaches that he had many. Many. You know what else? He had a problem, and it was called a woman problem. He had them all, and he wanted one more. I want you to turn back with me right quick. I don't want to go into the illustration too far. Just in a chapter 11 right here, just in the beginning of it, I'm going to read a couple first chapters. And it came to pass, after the year expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, pay attention to me right there, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Did you pay attention right there where it said, at this time, at the time when the kings go forth to battle? There was a time set in place to where the kings go out and fight too. He didn't just stay home at the castle, amen, and do what he wanted to. It was time for him to go out with the army. Joab being his chief commander, the head of the army, but he just sent him and the army out. He said, well, I believe I'll just stay here. I don't feel like going with y'all this time. I don't believe I just look. This wasn't something you had an opportunity to do. This wasn't something you made your mind up whether you was going to do it. It said at this time the kings went with the army. Well, I'm the king. I do what I want to do. Ooh, let's walk from this way. I'm a child of God. I do what I want to do. I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. I can do what I want to do. God's with me. Let me tell you something. God's with you when you're with God. But when you get away from God, God ain't going to be with you no more. You know where I believe God went? I believe he went with the army. He went with them and went forth for them. And when David decided, I'm going to hold back. I'm going to stay back this time. I ain't going to go. I know I'm supposed to, but I ain't going to go. And it came to pass in verse 2, even in the evening tide, that David arose up off his bed and walking upon his roof of the king's house from whence the roof, he saw a woman washing herself, a woman that was very beautiful to look upon. David's supposed to be in a battlefield. Oh, he's in a battle now. He's in a battle now he didn't ever know he was getting ready to get into. He just walked straight out of the physical battle into a spiritual battle. Now he's decided to stay back. He's going to walk upon a roof and just look around, look over his kingdom. Look over my kingdom today, see if there's anything down here I'd like to have. And seen a woman that looked pretty good, and he said, yeah, right there's something I'd like to have. What? Another man's wife. Seen something. Now, what I'm talking about today, we ain't going to get so far off on the sin as to much what made the sin come about. Lust. Lust of the heart. Lust of the eye. Lust of the flesh. The Bible says in 1 John, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. David was going through something right there. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. When you first lust after something, what is it like? Now listen, I want to define lust for you this morning. Lust ain't always got something to do with relationships between a man and a woman. Lust is simply defined as desire. A strong desire of your heart. Lust is defined as a word called desire. What do you desire today? What do you desire to have in your life today? Do you desire to walk close to God? Do you desire to do the will of God? Do you desire to feel the presence of God in your life on a daily basis? Well, preacher, I don't know. I feel like I do all the time. That's my desire. Is it really? Is that our desire? Is it really? Because I want to bring it to reality to you right quick. We ain't in the house of God. We down here at Walmart. Somebody's just jumped in front of you in line. Is that still your heart's desire? Is this still your heart's desire to be walking with God right then and there? You come on up the road and somebody gets, you see them right there getting ready to pull out in front of you. Well, you think they're going to stop. They're going to wait on you. And all of a sudden you get right up next to them and they pull out in front of you and you lay on the horn. Is that your desire then? Is God on your mind right then and there? Where you get, and then we just coming from town back to the house. Amen. You come on back and you come up to the stop sign, you take a right or left, whichever way it takes you to the house. And all of a sudden you hear blah, 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 blah. I got a flat tire. I done had to deal with this mess in town, this one right here, and now all of a sudden I got a flat tire. Is that your desire then? Are you walking close to God right there? Listen to me, I got a point right here for you. Because this mess is what gets us away from God. This is sin just like any other thing is sin. The devil ain't going to tell you this part. Amen. The devil ain't going to tell you when you finally get that tire changed and you get to the house and something ain't just quite suitable for you. When you get there, you start biting your wife's head off. You're walking with God then. Or your wife rolls in, she starts biting your husband's head off. Are you walking with God then? I'm talking about lust right now. Lust. You know what lust is? Lust is you wouldn't wanted somebody to get in front of you at Walmart. Lust is when you didn't want that one to pull out in front of you coming up a road. Lust is when you could have made it to the house without a flat tire. Lust is when you could have made it to the house and everything would have been prepared just like you thought it would be. He started lusting in his heart. God told John to write it down in 1 John, the lust of the eyes. You first got to see it. The lust of the flesh, then you're going to desire it. And then it's going to become the pride of life. Then when you get to this part about the pride of life, you're in big trouble. When you're walking around all the time thinking, hey, I got this, everything's good, I can handle this. I can handle this. You can't handle nothing. Absolutely nothing. This man set in place over the house of God. He can't handle it. He can't do but so much. You've got to let God do it. Amen. Because we can take upon so much in our life, and then it becomes prideful. Well, God will let you handle. Let's let him handle. Let us handle a few things. See how I handled that. Go to crowing in, don't. See how I handled that. Yeah, I handled that, and guess what? Next and come up, praise God, I'll handle Latin too. You know why? Because I'm the king. I'll handle next and two. Oh, that's where David's going, praise God. David's going to handle one to the next, to the next, to the next. What are you saying, preacher? I say David's going to sin, and he's going to cover it up with another sin, and he's going to have to cover that sin up with another sin. I'm talking about a child of God today. A man saved by the grace of God today. You think you exempt? David, a man after God's own heart. We're gonna go on back to we're gonna go on back to chapter 12 right there. And he said, if it was such and such, I'd have gave unto thee. Verse 9, wherefore hast thou despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight? He said, the problem is you've despised the commandments of God, and you've done evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with a sword of the children of Ammon. You know where it all started? You know why David had to kill a man? He had a man killed, so he murdered him. Because David had to control to give the I heard Brother Roger preach like this one time here. He gave Uriah, he gave Joab a note, he gave the messenger a note to give Uriah his own death warrant to take back to Joab to tell him to put him on the front line in the hottest part of the battle. Make sure he dies. You know why David had to kill a man? Because he despised the commandments of the Lord. Because he wouldn't listen to what God said to do. And then, look, I want to say this one right. And when he despised the commandments of the Lord, and he had a man murdered, he committed sin. And the Word of God says in the book of James, chapter 1, then when the lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. That desire I was talking about a while ago. When lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, pay attention to this, it bringeth forth death. And it all started with a simple little bit of lust. A little bit of a desire of a man's heart. Or what I think's right. What I think I ought to do. What I think an X-man ought to do. What I think that what they ought not do. Let me tell you something, folks. Just because God's called me to preach don't mean I'm God. I'm far from it, praise God. I don't know what you need in your life. But I do know the Bible says in the book of Corinthians for us to examine ourselves to see that we're in the faith. In the faith. In the one and only faith, and that's Jesus Christ. To examine yourself, make sure you're in the faith. But the Bible says right here, it said he despised the commandments of God. How many commandments of God are we despising today? Man, you know I don't despise the commandments of God because he's my Lord. He's my Savior. I love him. I know you don't do it intentionally. I know the same as I don't do it intentionally. David didn't have intentions on taking another man's wife until he done wrong to begin with. He was somewhere he didn't supposed to be. He's supposed to have been on the battlefield, but he stayed at home. David didn't have no intentions on sinning when he got up that morning. Do you hear me? You ain't got no intentions on doing it today. Amen. Do you? I hope you can pray God. You ain't got no intentions on sinning. But let me tell you, it's coming. You think the devil's done laid down? He's done quit his work? He ain't done. He ain't done. Hey, man, he's got it going hotter and heavier, faster and farther. I mean, he's tearing it up right now. He's throwing temptations out in front of you that you can't even see. He's tempting you. He'll tempt you with others. He'll tempt me against my wife against me, me against my children, and my children against me. That's real. Guess what happens when I don't handle it right? I despise the commandments of God. When I don't do what God tells me to do, exactly. I say to a T, crossing it, to a I, dotting it, exactly what God tells me. Not get off a little bit and say, well, let me see what the commandment says right here. Oh, I believe it says this. I don't believe it says this. I got to do exactly what it says. We got to quit believing it, taking us a little bit here or a little bit here. We got to find out exactly what the commandments of God is. Because if I don't follow them to a T, I'm going to veer off. I'm going to say, well, it didn't work. Now I must handle it. Here comes that pride. Well, evidently, if I ain't going to work, maybe God wants me to handle it. I'm going to tell you right now, God don't want us to handle much. He don't want us to handle much at all. And I'm going to tell you something else. If God can't handle it, what makes you or me one think that we can? I've seen God intervene in people's lives and try them and tell them, you know, hey, you know what you need to do. You know where you're at. I'm showing you exactly where you're at. And you know what you need to do. Why don't you just come? And they reject it. They reject the help that God's got for them. Listen, I ain't talking about the lost folks. I'm talking about me and you. I'm talking about I've seen it in the church. God trying to help us. God tries to help me sometimes. And you know the first thing I do, I try to take it on myself. I try to take a little... First thing, I don't go to God first. First thing I do is I say, what can I do to make this better? What do I need to do? What do I need to change? What do I need to do right here, right now in my life? I know where I'm at. God's revealed that part. Now what do I do? If He's revealed it to you, praise God, He's going to help you with the rest of it. The problem is, hey, we was calm and patient enough to start praying about it and God revealed it to us, but then we want to step out and say, well, I guess that's what I need to do. And God was saying, no, stand still. Stand still. I showed you that part and I'm fixing to show you the rest of it. But what do? I believe I can do it. God showed it to me. God gave it to me. I believe I'm just going on with it. No, He's saying, stand still. Stand still. Let me do it. As my youngest, if they got into trouble that they didn't know how to get out of, they would come to me, I'd say, sit right there and watch me do it. I'm going to show you how this works because I done been there and done that. God's done been there and done that. Yeah. Let me tell you something. This man got up with a burden on his heart. He ain't the only one. This house of God right here, something's going on. Yeah, and this ain't the only house of God something's going on in. Yeah. Amen. God's done been there and done that. God knows how to fix this one because He's done fixed the one down the road. He's done fixed the one up the road. He's done fixed the one everywhere else. But God's the only one that knows how to do it. He's done been there and done that. And I'm going to tell you, if we don't start examining ourselves, the Bible don't tell me to go and look at the mote in my brother's eye because I got a beam in mine. He said, you can't help him because you got a stinking beam in yours. The only way that I can be a help of anything. And let me tell you, when I get the beam out right here out of mine, guess where I even start to help? I don't go far. I start right here too. It's an individual personal relationship with God. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm going to tell you a secret right here. If every one of us got to where we need to be with God, and we come in them houses, these doors right here, the house of God, boy, you talking about the Spirit of God. He'd blow the roof off this place. He'd fix it up. fix it up quick. There'd be no problems here. Don't think Smith Chapel's high and mighty and all good and goody two shoes. It ain't Smith Chapel. It ain't about this building we're sitting in. It's about me. The Spirit of God lives within me. It lives within you. And all we got to do is not despise His commandments. Do exactly what His commandments says. There's an order. There's an order to everything in the Word of God. How do we do it? I mean, when we figure out what it is, how do we do it, preacher? You do it with love. You do it with compassion. You do it with kindness. How you say that? Sometimes don't we just need to tighten the wrench down and choke somebody out? That's what I feel like doing, praise God. But that ain't how my Lord done it. That ain't how Jesus does it. That ain't how He done it. Did He have a success in His ministry? Was Jesus Christ's ministry a success? Praise God, if there's ever been one on earth, it was His. He knows how to do it. Oh yeah, He got angry one time, and it was in His Father's house. So we can get angry and sin not. But the most help we're ever going to get and give is going to be with love and compassion. But we all, the Bible, I can't help it. I'm going back here to examine myself. It's one of my favorite pieces of Scripture, folks. One of my favorite pieces of Scripture. There's many, but that's one that stands out in a whole lot of situations in my life. I wonder why. I wonder why the Word of God comes to me so often saying, examine yourself. I wonder why. Praise God, because when trouble comes, it starts with me. Didn't nobody tell David to get up and go lust after another man's wife? Nobody told David to do that. Nobody told him to kill her husband, David. And she got news back. She sent news back, I've been conceived. But David said, I was just looking for, maybe we could just hang out one night. But she sent a messenger back and said, no. See, something's fixing to come about. The Word of God, y'all ever heard this in the Word of God, that your sin will find you out. Well, when the lady started getting big, guess what? David's sin was fixing to be found out. And the first thing David said was, how am I going to cover this one up now? What am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? Got to think. Y'all hear me? What am I going to do now? What am I going to do? I'm going to cover this one up too. I know what I can do. I know what I can do. Hey, somebody send me a messenger down to Joab, to the chief, commanding chief. Tell him to send Uriah to me. I need to talk to Uriah. I need to talk to Bathsheba's husband. Tell him to come on up here. I need to talk to him a little bit. They sent a message to Uriah. He came back to the king, David. And he said, hey, how you doing, Uriah? How's the battle going? Everything going good down on the battlefield? Well, such and such and this and that and the other. He said, well, I said, pretty good. How's Joab doing? He's doing pretty good. Well, hey, how you been? You've been doing all right. I tell you what, you've been fighting so hard and so long. You've been fighting so long for God. And you've been carrying all this, and you've been in the battle so long. I tell you what you do. Why don't you go on down to your house and take your break? Why don't you take your rest? Since you're back home now, since you're back here in the land, why don't you go on down to your house and just, relax? Go be with your wife for a while. Go be with your wife and relax. Unwind a little bit. I want to tell you about a true child of God. Uriah couldn't even go back. And let me tell you something. God pull you off a battlefield and tell you to go down and be with your wife for a little bit and, stay a couple days and you can go on back, just get you freshened up again. Reckon what me and you going to do? I'm going to the house. I'm going to say, hey, Mama, where's the kids at? I sure have missed y'all. I sure have missed y'all. Uriah couldn't even do that. Said Uriah walked away from the presence of the king, went out, and guess where he slept? He slept at the king's door. He didn't go home. He slept on the ground that night. Said a messenger come back to King David the next day and said, hey, did you know Uriah slept outside the door last night? Did he? Oh, my. Slept outside. I told him to go home. What am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? I got it. Tell him come on back in here. Come on, Uriah. Come on, man. I'm going. He said, I gave you a free pass home last night. I gave you free leave. I'm the king. I can do that. I gave you a free pass. He said, why didn't you go home? You know what the first thing Uriah said? He said, because of the ark. He said, because of Israel. He said, because of Judah. He said, because of my Lord Joab. He said, they're out there fighting. They're out there bleeding and sweating. And I can't go and be comfortable with my wife. I know where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be on the battlefield with my Lord. You expect me? I can't go home. I'm worried about them. My concerns is the children of God. The battle they're in. My friends, are they dying? He couldn't go home. Even though he had a commandment from the king, go on, man. You got a free pass. He says, I can't do it. Praise God, we need some more Christians like Uriah. We need to be some Uriahs today. Even when the king tells you to go, you ain't got to go. I'm talking about the king of this earth. I ain't talking about you. Now when the heavenly king says go, you go. That's our commander in chief. That's my Lord. Uriah couldn't even go because he was concerned about God and God's children. What am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? He's putting the word of God on me. What am I going to do now? Look at the next sin David does. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll invite him to supper tonight and I'll get him drunk. I'm going to get him impaired, get his mind altered. He'll be drunk. Then he'll want to go down to his house. Got him drunk. Guess what? He ended up laying outside with the other servants that night. Still didn't go down to his house. Even in a drunken state of mind. Praise God, that's a Christian going on for the glory of God. Shouldn't have never got drunk. David shouldn't have never got him drunk. But praise God, he even battled the drunkenness. He battled his own mind, and he still knew what he needed to do. He said, oh, he couldn't even go. That right there can't even work. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do now? Go on back, Uriah. Go on back to the battle. Get back on the battlefield. I'll come up with something. Wait a minute. Before you go, I'll be right back with you. Go in here and write this note. And wrote up a note, sealed it up in the envelope. When the king seals it off, you ain't got no right to open it up. Amen. Here, take this with you, Uriah. Take this with you. When you get back, give it to Joab. Give it to your commanding chief. It was his death warrant. He was carrying his own death warrant. Didn't even know it. Went and gave it back to the commanding chief. Commanding chief opens up in secret and says, we're going to get it in today's term, kill Uriah. Make sure he dies. Can you imagine handing another man a letter that commands to go home and take your life and you not know nothing about it? So they did. They put him on the hottest point of the firing lines, right up against the wall of the battle. And many of them died that day. But the one that I was mostly concerned with was Uriah, the one that David was mostly concerned with. Sent a message, and then Joab sent another message back to David and said, go back and tell David that we lost a lot of men today. He said, but when he starts getting stirred up and mad about losing a whole lot of people, make sure you tell him that Uriah, the Hittite, he's dead also. Y'all get that? Y'all get that? He going to get mad because about 100 of them die. But what's going to bring his mind down and ease him up real good is Uriah's dead, so okay. It finally worked. What I come up with finally worked. I knew I could figure it out. I knew I could handle it. I knew I could figure it out. Praise God, we got to go. I ain't got much time. I wish we could go on. I want to read this. I want y'all to hear the rest of this. And it says right here, now therefore in verse 10, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah and the Hittite to be thy wife. And the Lord, and he said, now look, check that out. The sword shall never depart from thy house. He said, because you sin, sin's going to be in your house. He said, sin is going to abound at your house from now on right here, he said. Praise God, there's a way out of it. And it gets to it right here. It says, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise evil against thee out of thy own house. I will take thy wives before thy eyes and give them to thy neighbors, and they shall lie with thy wives in thy sight. And this son, he said, I will raise up evil against out of thy own house. Check this out. David's own son's going to come against him here in the next few chapters, and David's own son's going to want to kill him. Let me tell you something. You think the way you live life ain't got no bearing on whatever else is going to go on in your life? You're just being a badly fooled individual. Amen. If you got sin conceived in your life, sin's going to continue in your life, and it's going to come all the way back home into your life. It may leave for a little bit. Let me tell you, my sins affect my youngins. Amen. My sins affect how they live their life. Amen. It ain't just about me. It ain't about how I'm living. It's who I'm living for, so they can see who to live for. For thou didst in secret, but I would do these things before Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has also have put away thy sins. Thou shalt not die. Now listen, he told him, he said, the Lord's put away your sins, because David just repented. He just recognized, I've sinned against God. Listen, folks, you're going to recognize. We need to start recognizing the sins in our life. We need to start recognizing what's going on in our life. And we need to give it to God and repent and turn away from it. And he said, thou shalt surely not die. But it ain't over right there. What did the Word of God say a while ago? Sin, when it is conceived, it bringeth forth death. So when sin's in your life, even though David ain't going to die, death is coming. Death is still coming. Howbeit, verse 14, howbeit, because by thy deeds thou hast given great association to the enemies of the Lord to blasphemy, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. He said, but the one that you conceived in adultery, the one where your sin came in, he said, God's going to take him out of here. He said, that child will never live. First and foremost, because it was conceived was by sin, in sin, with sin. By sin and in sin is automatic, but the with sin ain't. We're automatically born in sin. We conceived in sin, but it shouldn't be in a sinly way. It shouldn't be by adultery, fornication. Because why? Because that's the commandments of God I was talking to you about a while ago. When the T's are crossed and the I's are dot, you don't despise the commandments of God. Because when you start despising the commandments of God, sin is going to bring death into your life. I don't need death. Amen. I've seen too much of it. Amen. I've seen too much of it. But there's a way out. There's a way out today. And it's called repent. Amen. It's called repent. But preacher, I don't know what to repent from. I know. I know you don't. And I can't help you right there. I can't help you. I can barely help me sometimes. Listen, what I want you to do today is examine yourself. Like the Bible said. Don't let Kenny, I can't examine you. I ain't got a clue what's going on. Examine yourself. See what's going on in your life. See if you're trying to take a hold to everything. See if you're trying to handle it and not let God handle it. That's even a sin. When you're trying to handle something, not letting the Lord handle it, that's a sin. Because we can't handle it, first and foremost, because we don't even know what it is. But God, God will reveal it to you. And when He does, He say, this is it. This is it. This is what's in your life. Don't just step forward and say, well, I can take care of that. Still keep standing. Still keep praying. Still keep asking God, I'm going to tell you, this is the way God's giving it to me. Don't ask God, tell God. I can't do this. God, I can't do this, but I know you can. Amen. Amen. Be a whole lot better, Christian.